Who was in the wrong, Amond or the other kids?
Is trying to bond with a dragon set for someone else fair game?
And do you believe in an eye for an eye, a tongue for a lie?
We'll answer all those questions and more on this week's episode of
The Joffrey of Podcasts.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
I am kissing again.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
stupid girls.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me as always is
Catfish.
Catfish, we're going to be breaking down season one, episode 7, Driftmark of House of the Dragon. We're going to be breaking it down completely. This was a crazy off the hook episode. We're also going to be playing our classic 3 match games. We're going to be talking about an article that was trending on Twitter entitled House of the Dragon: The Battle for the Iron Throne is Pointless When Everyone is This Evil. Ooh. And we're also going to be looking at our double L's loyal listeners feedback, which this week is really strong.
I love it.
Let's dive right in. What is your rating out of 10 for episode 7, Driftmark?
Well, Bubba, I am going to give this one what I like to call double D's.
Wait, double D's?
Yeah, that is dark directing. because I switched TVs because I was like, there's something wrong with my TV. But there wasn't. The episode was very darkly directed. And yet, I'm going to give this 9 double D's. Whoa. Out of 10.
9? Whoa.
I mean, the conflict finally came out into the open, Bubba. Let me get my qualms out first, besides the darkly directed. It wasn't just the nighttime stuff, which was supposed to be sunset stuff. It was interior stuff in the castle. Look, I know you want some verisimilitude, and it shouldn't be bright and glossy the way Wheel of Time was, but... Uh-huh. My God, let me figure out what's going on. There were several sections I couldn't even figure out what was going on. Bubba, I also thought this episode should have been called One Wedding and Two Funerals. But besides that, I loved it. Some of the stuff is so good. And even though I am Team Rhaenyra, she did some things tonight. Holy cow. When she tells Daemon, I maintain the effort to make appearances, talking about her husband, I'm like, excuse me, you have two blatantly obvious, everyone in this episode is talking about it. The fishmonger is talking about it. The guy rowing his boat is like, hey, do you know about Rhaenyra's kids? Everyone is talking about it. So she has become a little bit more obtuse for me. I'm still Team Rhaenyra. I love the fighting came out of the open. If it had to be the kids that started it, whatever, that's fine with me. Bubba.
Yeah,
I can't believe that enough has happened on this show to Daemon and Rhaenyra that now I am full on bought in to what I'm calling Daenerys. That's my ship for them. The fact that I was like, yes, they're finally married. And I was happy about it was a little shocking to me, but I loved everything. The sides are set now. Alicent is going full mustache twisting. It is all happening, Bubba. And so despite the fact that I couldn't see some of it, which admittedly is no bueno, I am 9 out of 10, Bubba. But holy, what about you? Smokes. What do you think?
Catfish, mm-hmm. I can't wait to give you my rating. I am 8 quintuple L's out of 10.
Oh, quintuple L's.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's when you have, let me see if I can get it now. That's when you got lifeboat leaving Laenor lives. Lame. I loved this episode. I thought it was great. And then Aemon steals the dragon. And it's literally Harry Potter on the hippogriff. Thrilling. It's fun. Oh, yeah. It's so exciting. That dragon ride was so wonderful.
I can't believe I didn't mention that. You are right. That is the best dragon riding ever.
It was incredible. So we're going great from that awesome dragon ride to the kid fight. I'm like, oh, this is incredible. Then the family fight. It was incredible. It was so great. And then, oh my goodness gracious, they're going to kill Lenore. I thought, holy smokes, this is incredible. This is one of the greatest episodes ever. And then it was like seeing Lenore had faked his death.
Mm-hmm.
While I guess I'm happy for him, I felt that was the lamest cop-out I'd ever seen, and I was going to go 10 out of 10, and that final shot of Lenore living cost
lamely
it
living.
Lamely living. I understand Rhaenyra would not want to kill Lenore. He's kind of been he hasn't been a full partner in this arranged marriage, in arranged scenario they've come up with, but Daemon, who we've seen kill his wife, and who certainly didn't have trouble getting busy with Rhaenyra, at his wife's funeral. The fact that, oh, wait, no, for this we'll cop out. I was incredibly frustrated. The episode was incredible. I want to pretend I didn't see that final scene. I don't think as an audience we really know Lenore, but that he would kind of do that to his dad and his parents seems unbelievable.
Right after his sister died.
Right. That he would do that to them seems unbelievable, but I'm going to try to stay focused on the positive because the episode began great. The funeral was incredible, but then that middle section, oh my God, this was wonderful. This was the highs of Game of Thrones, and it was impressive to see.
Absolutely, Bubba. I'm completely with you. The dragon riding was by far the best dragon riding we've seen in the Game of Thrones universe. I believe in Rhaenyra. I was like, wow, is she really going to kill Lenore? And then when I saw him burned up, I was like, But the only person I don't buy it from is from Lenore, but from Lenore's point of view, but maybe he is just tired of living that fake life.
It was a really great episode. I'm going to imagine that our listeners are 10 out of 10 and not so tough about that end scene that I was. Hopefully their TVs were so dark they couldn't tell it was Lenore escaping to live out his dream life across the narrow sea. Listeners, we always say, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. Write to us at PHQ. That's the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters, because we say it all the time because we really do care what you guys think. We ask you to do a lot. We ask you to like all our match game tweets. We ask you to subscribe. We really need you to subscribe. We ask for reviews. We do all these things, and we try to give prizes so it's not so annoying. But the biggest thing is that we sincerely really want to know what you guys think. I've seen some feedback already from somebody who did have trouble with this episode, and I can't wait to debate it once we get to feedback at the end. But once again, we really do care. We thank you so much for listening, downloading, subscribing, liking these tweets. We want you in the lifeboat with Lenore and us as we paddle away from all the carnage on Driftmark.
We out of goodness. Here.
Now, Catfish.
Yeah.
We don't always touch on news, but I do think this is the big thing hitting in the Game of Thrones universe right now, and that is House of the Dragon, which got renewed almost immediately by HBO and their new parent company, Discovery, right? They're not going to begin filming season two of House of the Dragon until March. So it's planned to take place, some of their exterior shots in Spain will take place between March and June of 2023. You think about that and you think, well, if they're not even done until June of 2023, season two will not be here until 2024. Most likely, it'll probably move to that spring window that Game of Thrones always held. But why in the world do you think HBO waited so long to schedule and get moving on season two filming? And do you have any thought of how a big layoff of over a year is going to affect these House of the Dragon fans who've become converted to the new show?
Well, it is kind of bad to have the delay, but we've had some delays. We've had delays of over a year before, haven't we, in the Game of Thrones?
Right. I wonder if... Mainly from season 7 to 8. That final season took close to 2 years, it feels like.
Yeah.
And we've had delays of over a year, but this is going to be... This is going to be like a year and a half, most likely. So,
well,
this
will
be
one
the second
thing I can,
longest wait.
One thing I can assume is that maybe it was for weather conditions. They start filming in kind of in the winter time now. Mm-hmm. A lot of shows that we've seen lately have already started filming the second season. The Mandalorian was filming the second season while the first season was airing. So they could have gotten a jump on it. They didn't, but now I assume it's for weather reasons.
I was wondering, because it seems so odd, I was wondering if, because you know, HBO, Time Warner, however, you know, whoever was owning them at the time was in the process of selling it. Maybe they really did say, well, the new owner probably doesn't want to greenlight this until it's officially a hit. And maybe that's why they delayed getting season two going, because that's not normally HBO's way. HBO looks at a show and they almost like tell the showrunners, plan for a season two, get everything ready for a season two, even if we cancel you, like luck or something. It's in the stages of, hey, get ready for season two, we're going
to
go.
Well, I'm sure that is the case, that they told them get ready to go so that they could do pre-production on it. But once you get to this point, like I said, I assume we're getting into the winter season. And if you're doing a lot of exterior stuff, it just becomes a little bit more difficult.
No, even in Spain. Mm-hmm. Catfish, have you ever been to Spain?
No, but I've never been to heaven. Sorry, I was doing an old school. You don't want to hear that. That's Three Dog Night. I have not been to Spain. I got to get there.
I went to Spain earlier this year. Lovely country. Admittedly, I was in a place where Game of Thrones had filmed some of season six, actually. And I'd been in Barcelona, but I've not been in this town they've been filming a lot of stuff in, which is a town really in far western Spain. I can't even pronounce it. Caracas.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, this is great, Bubba. On the last podcast we did together, you talked about how you went to the special Star Wars Disney thing, and now you're once again mocking me about places you've been to and I haven't.
I was worried you wouldn't pick up on my mocking, but I'm glad you did. Hey, listeners, I want you to know that if you enjoy the two knuckleheads you're listening to right now, we are currently covering Star Wars Andor on our Parsec Passion podcast feed. And we want you to join us. If you're into high drama and maybe think Star Wars is too giddy for you, this is the quote-unquote adult Star Wars show. And it is serious drama. It is like an HBO show. And so please check out Andor if you have Disney Plus and download, once again, the Parsec Passion podcast, where you'll hear us discuss every episode. And also, 2 weeks from tonight.
From tonight, Bubba?
From tonight. I can't believe it. That'll be October 16th, 2022, we're going to begin coverage on a third show, three podcasts a week. This is insane.
I'll have no time to go to Spain.
Okay. We're going to be covering Magpie Murders here in the States. It's going to air on PBS, public broadcasting stations, and around the world. It's available on things like BritBox. Check it out. If you love murder mysteries, this is a dense, thick one. I've seen the first two episodes already. Yeah, the first one's pretty dry, but that second one is so fun. It's what's so great about the book. So once again, in 2 weeks, check out our Double P podcast feeds. We're going to be covering Magpie Murders. Ooh,
it's appropriate because it's a double M.
Double M?
Yeah, Magpie Murders.
Never heard of it. Hey, we've rambled too much. Like we say, we want to hear from you. So Catfish, are you ready for our first match game of the night?
Holy cow, I'm very excited, Bubba.
Leering Laris is so creepy.
How creepy is he?
Laris looked at Queen Alicent, not with a look of pride, but of blank. Leering Laris is so creepy, he looked at Queen Alicent, not with a look of pride, but blank. This is tricky, Catfish. Do you have a good answer for this one?
I do.
You know we love Laris, so let's hear it.
Envy, because she wore it better.
What? Their funeral clothes, she wore it better? How cold to mean Laris.
Yeah. You know, Laris, he always wants to look put together, and he's like, how dare you? How dare you wear it and wear it better?
Okay. All right,
Bubba, I'm going to read it for you. Let's see how you do. Leering Laris is so creepy. Okay. He looked at Queen Alicent not with a look of pride, but blank.
The look of a son and brother. Oh, whoops, no, he killed his dad and his brother. Oh, that's Laris. How could you look at her like that? How terrible. Laris.
Oh, boy. You know what? The right answer is like he wanted to eat her.
It's early. It's only episode 7. Give him some time.
Holy cow. All right, Bubba.
All right.
Let's see what our listeners said.
Okay, I'm going to read this one from Endless Mike, who's at EndlessMike03 on Twitter. You ready?
All right.
Hearing Laris is so creepy, he looked at Queen Allison, not with a look of pride, but patricide.
I feel like that's a match with yours, Bubba. I think this should be a partial ring.
Very good.
All right, Leering Laris is so creepy. He looked at Queen Allison not with a look of pride, but double S.
Wait, double S?
Sibling slang.
Oh.
That's actually likely Seth. Sorry, I was just going down the next one. I messed that up.
Sorry. Okay, well, that's likely Seth. Hey, I'll read this one from Before the Dragon Pod from our buddy Double M. Leering Laris looked at Queen Allison not with a look of pride, but with a look of double S. Boy, all double S.
Double S.
Single-eyed sacrifice. He's saying the keys of say, okay, that's nice. I got it. Oh, my God. All of these are double. Almost all of these are double S. All right. You read the next one.
All right. This is from Mando Tori. Tori Hunter. Leering Laris is so creepy. He looked at Queen Allison not with a look of pride, but... like a lurky lord. Double L, lurky lord.
Laris, have we read them all or is there one more?
No, there's a couple more.
Oh, there's a couple more. All right, so I'll read this one from Jeff. You ready?
Yep.
Leering Laris looked at Queen Allison not with a look of pride, but of double S.
Double S?
A strong stare. Get it? He's a strong. Very good, Jeff.
Oh, that is very nice. All right, and we have Nick Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna.
There we go.
Leering Laris is so creepy. He looked at Queen Allison not with a look of pride, but with a rat's eye and leech's tongue.
Now that gets to a big theory about Laris the rat. Oh, my goodness gracious. At Nicholas Fortuna on Twitter. Very, very good. Catfish, why don't we pause right now and just talk about Laris? How do you feel about Laris now that he's kind of got his castle, he's got Harrenhal, and he didn't go, I guess, to the funeral for his father and brother like Jace Valerian wants to go to? He instead came to this funeral. Good old Laris. How do you feel about Laris so far in this season, Catfish?
I feel like he is the most consistent character we've had on the show.
Oh, that is a great point.
You know, people have been up and down. They've gone through certain changes. Laris has remained strong in his motivations throughout the entire episode. He just, the entirety of the time we've seen him, he is just wants to be a lickspittle lapdog.
He does not waver. He is on that line, and he is not moving. I love Laris. More Laris. So good. Hey, and speaking of Laris strong, it's time for our strongest scene of the episode.
Oh,
in Catfish. We've already talked about
a professional
bunch.
Uh-huh.
But is there one that you want to dive into first?
For me, it is the scene of the episode is... the secondary scene of the episode is the cutting of the eye, but the primary episode is the mess that follows that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the indictment of everyone knows. I mean, look at these kids. Everyone knows.
Oh, my God.
The hubbub.
Oh,
the,
my Lord.
The striking, the call for an eye by Allison. I mean, after that, Otto is essentially like, hey, you're finally with it. You get the stones.
Otto is proud of Allison. That's kind of the craziest thing. Oh, my God. I mean, that is really crazy. He's really proud of her for stepping up and getting in the gosh darn game. And she is.
Well, we can talk about that later. I mean, at a certain point, she realizes, all right, well, I will accept Laris's help. Yeah, so that is just an incredible scene. We talked over and over again about what we really want to see in this show is people's feelings laid bare, and oh boy, it was ugly out there for everybody except for the king, who's like,
oh my
everybody
God.
Just chill.
Oh my
but,
God.
But he is, that is on brand for him.
Yeah, he's also consistent. I think you're right, Laris is more consistent, but the king... Oh my God, he has got to get this straight. His son had his, you know, Aemond is his son. That's what's so easy to forget. But Aemond had his face really cut open. We can argue, and we will argue later, if maybe Aemond deserved it. But this scene was so good. It was fun the way that Rhaenyra and Alicent are each trying to, you know, make the other person say the thing, right? So, like, yes, what insult got hurled against the kids? Because they want Rhaenyra to say, yeah, they said, you know, they said my kids are bastards and not their father's children. And then Rhaenyra's like, yeah, where did they hear it? Where did they hear it? Because they want, you know, she wants it, the kids to say, ah, mom's been telling us, you know? And it was so, so good. So many ice cold snaps. Alicent is a queen of ice cold snaps. They're like, where's Lenore? And she's like, entertaining his young squires, I would venture. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then Aemond, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite characters.
I'll bet.
You know, the king's like, okay, son, tell me where you heard this. Tell me where you heard this. And he rats out his older brother, Aegon. And then Aegon, who is very interesting to watch in some of these wider shots. Aegon, who is a drunk, is a buffoon, but finally he just comes out and says, we know, father. Everyone knows. Just look at them. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Even everybody gets a moment to shine. Kristen Cole. So Queen Alicent is like, you're my protector. I want one of those eyes. Go get one of those eyes. And even Kristen Cole's like, I'm not taking an eye. He goes, I'm your sworn protector, not right. Your sworn muscle. I mean, oh my God, so great that scene was. You know, I'm trying to think who didn't get in a shot. Maybe Vaemond Valerian kind of didn't get into the mess any, but oh my God, so good. So
no, good. It was really good. It was so interesting because there's a lot of things that I felt like could have been litigated, but they were able to stop that by having the king just say, no mas, because let's face it, and we'll get into this later, that's one of the things we were going to talk about, is the legitimacy of the Aemond now having a dragon. An old, powerful dragon.
Right, a dragon that one of the kids thought, that dragon is bonded with my mom, it should be mine, and he just takes it. Oh, man. And I think Aemond, because he was so brave in that scene, in the whole dragon flight, is partially great because you're watching this kid, and you're like, kid, you got to be kidding me. Do you see the size of this dragon? Are you friggin' nuts? I mean, this thing is huge, this dragon Vhagar.
Right.
And Daemon wakes it up twice, and I thought, okay, he let you get away with it once, Aemond. You quit pushing your luck. But then he climbs up on it, and he flies it, and it is magical. We have seen, you know, spoilers alert for Game of Thrones, we have seen Daenerys ride the dragon. The first time she rode one of those dragons was in the fighting pits of Meereen. And admittedly, those effects were a bit shaky. And so maybe that took away from some of the magic of it. But this was brilliant. I loved this scene. I thought it was great.
So is your scene, the dragon riding
that
scene?
That is mine. I think the fallout from the eye is pretty strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's all of one piece. The dragon flight was incredible. I thought that fight between kids was one of the most realistic fights between kids I've ever seen. Now, admittedly, I've not been in fights where boys punch girls. You know, maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned when I was a kid. Boys didn't punch girls. But that was so ice cold in that fight. Mm. It was just brutal. And Aemond actually was a great fighter. He was taking on four of them and just kicking butt.
He was. I really, really wanted him to die on that dragon flight.
Oh, that, yeah, I thought so too. You know, like literally when he's hanging on, I'm like, dude, there's not a seatbelt, Aemon, let's go.
But you could see it. He had been so goaded that it was worth it to him to risk his life. And I think it was only because he was willing to risk his life that he was able actually to ride the dragon.
Yeah, incredible, incredible. And I feel bad. Like I said, this episode, it would have gotten a 10 for 10 for me if it hadn't been, because the reception was great. You put all those characters together, everybody watching everybody. It is great. And the scene between Rhaenys and her husband, Corlys, where she keeps calling him out. Dude, your ambition, you know, as far as they know, did get both their kids killed. I mean.
Not only that, he's like, I don't care whether these aren't my kids. They have my name.
Heck.
That's all that matters.
The name lives on. Oh, my goodness gracious. Listeners, we've talked about our favorite, the strongest scenes we found in this episode. There's still a bunch more, I'm sure. What am I going to say? You know what I'm going to say, listeners. Communicate to us. If you're on YouTube, hit the like. Go down in the comments. Give us a comment. Write to us at WPHQ, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/WPHQ. We are ready to talk about this with you. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, heck yeah. There were so many good scenes tonight. I'm sure there must be some other scenes people want to talk about and want to know our opinions, Bubba. But really, just the funny stuff that they've said to us in regards
right,
to our match
game. They want us to repeat
questions.
All their hilarious answers. That's right. So let's do it right now. You ready for match game two?
Ooh, I love it.
Okay. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered blank. Boom, 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 boom. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered blank.
Bubba, I got a really good feeling about this one.
I think you do too. I think we're going to have a great feeling on this. I'm going to warm up the bell so it's ready. So let me give it to you. Let me hear your answer, Catfish. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered...
sex on the beach.
What?
Yes.
What? This is the match game, listeners. I created this because on the match game, there are times where it's like, okay, we got to have a question that we can get some answers for. So, Catfish, I want you to go in the show notes and highlight the blank space after my name. And see that what I said was, yeah, just highlight the whole thing, was that there was an open bar, Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered sex on the beach. We matched.
Yes, yes.
After 7 weeks. After 7 weeks, we finally did it. Admittedly, I made this question. I thought, okay, this is going to be one. We're going to get a lot of matches on. The match game itself always had a bunch. So let's see how we did. All right. But our listeners are smarter than us. Have they outsmarted us with some even funnier answers? Let's check it out. You ready?
They probably have, Bubba. I'm ready.
They probably had. I'll read it and you read the first answer you see. So,
love it.
There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered
sex on the beach.
Here we go.
That's Endless Mike.
Endless Mike
03.
Hell yeah, we are rolling, baby. We are rolling. Okay, three matches or whatever, three matches.
Yes, let's say two matches.
Here we go.
Whatever. Okay, all right. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered a double S.
A double S?
Ship hold slow dance. That's at likely Seth.
Oh, a slow dance. That's very true. That's very true. Okay, all right. Let's hear. I got one. You read. Yep. I got one from a listener. Read it and I'll answer.
All right. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered
a sea breeze and a dark and stormy. For the sea breeze, I tip my cap. That is a great answer right there. From at Jeff Perro, who's at JEPHPERRO on Twitter. Very good. A Sea Breeze almost deserves a ring of the bell because that's such a classic.
Love it.
Classic one. At the beach, baby. I'll read the answer or question and you give me the next answer. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered
the leg spreader.
Okay, you got to go to YouTube to look at Catfish's reaction to this. He's almost ashamed he said it.
I'm so glad I didn't know I was saying that ahead of time.
Who said that one?
That is our good friend Matt Murdock at Before the Dragon Pod. That is horrible.
Double M.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Really? Oh my God. Okay. We got to recover from this because we do have a couple more.
Okay. All right. Sorry. All right.
I love this answer. I'm going to read this one. So you give me the question.
All right. There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered
a Bloody Mary because they got married. Isn't that great? I think that's great. From @MandoTory on Twitter. Hell yeah. That is
nice.
Really smart.
Very nice.
Very good. I think we got maybe one more here. Yeah, we got one more, I think. Okay, so you ready? It's from our good buddy, Nicholas Fortuna. So you ready? There was an open bar at Lena's funeral. Rhaenyra and Daemon ordered
2 tall glasses of plotting spite, shaken, not stirred.
Oh, that's awesome. That's also pretty good. Oh, my God. Oh my God, listeners, we say this every week. We collect these answers all week long and then read them on the next podcast. And so at the end of this podcast, you're going to hear some hilarious answers from last week's questions. But oh my goodness.
I feel always, dirty but amazing.
Right. It's time for our character rundown, Catfish. And
all right.
You had a name for the happy couple that got married in this episode. What was that again?
Mine was Daenerys.
Is on Twitter, the thing trending is Daemira. So in other words, they use the M from Daemon rather than the N from Rhaenyra.
That's and giving him too much power. He's already first.
Well, what do you think, Catfish? You said you were happy to see this couple together. This is a niece and her uncle. And you want them to be together. This is crazy. What do you think?
Well, I didn't say I wanted them to be together. I said that I was surprised that I was at the point where I was happy that I was happy that they were together, but really just because they can protect each other and she can protect him. I'm all still a right. team Rhaenyra, Daenerys now. So I am for, she needs allies. He is a strong ally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a time jump there was between when Laenor left and they're like, well, Laenor got burned to a crisp, so we're getting married. I mean, she did say that they talked about how people would assume that she'd done it.
Right.
But still, there has to be some decent interval, doesn't there?
With Daemon, I don't know about that. This will sound crazy, and it may be my double B book bias coming in.
Tell me.
But in the books, because it would be written along the lines, now I haven't checked Fire and Blood to see if this is actually how it's written, but it would be written where it'd be like Lenore died, and there were whispers that Rhaenyra and Daemon had caused the death. Like that, and so it would just be written like that, sometimes just a sentence. And because it was written like that, I think as a reader, you're supposed to think, oh, they killed her husband. You know, you kind of like, well, why would there be, you know, there's smoke, there's fire,
right?
Literally, because there's fire. That's how they get together. And so I was kind of team green. Let me become clean, listeners. When I read the book, I was team green.
Oh my goodness.
And part of it was because of, you know, these things like Daemon. I knew he had killed his wife. I knew that Daemon was kind of a mess, a jerk. He's fun to watch, but he, because of that, and because the way the book is put, I guess you kind of know Lenore doesn't swing, you know, isn't heterosexual. But still, the book kind of had the illegitimacy of Rhaenyra's children be kind of another thing that made me think, oh, did she cheat on her husband because he was gay and didn't try? Like, there's no scene where in the book, no sentence where it says Rhaenyra and Lenore actually tried to have kids. And so because of that, I was really, really team green.
Well, they didn't even mention that until tonight.
Yeah.
This was the first time that, you know, after she said her ridiculous, he doesn't even try. I'm the one keeping up appearances.
I know. Ouch. So because of that, I was team green in the book.
Got it.
And this episode, I've already said it, this episode made me team Aemon so much. He was a complete badass, because I dissed his older brother Aegon so much in the previous episode. And Aegon, I want to point out, you know, in that big final shot when everybody's kind of like an overhead shot looking down at this fight that's happening, Aegon kind of disappears into a corner. So in the, you know, anybody who wants to watch this episode again, watch those overhead shots. Look at what Aegon, the person who, you know, quote unquote, could be king if the king decides to go with his firstborn male heir. He is. Maybe it's because he's drunk and hungover, but he just like hid in a corner. It was fascinating. But I've become Team Aemon.
He's the hero we need.
He was incredibly cruel to his cousins, but he showed strength. And once again, approaching that dragon like he did, absolutely insane, but also, enthralling. Just fascinating. And the fact, once again, he was saying terrible things to his cousins, but the fact that he could take on four at once and it really wasn't a problem, I was like, oh, heck yeah, let's go. Yeah, do you agree about it? Aemon, do you think he's evil? Like, is he too close to Daemon? Or what are you thinking about our one-eyed second-born son to the king?
Oh, yeah. He is pure evil. And before it's all over, he's going to bump off his older brother. He is the bullied that will now become the bully because he's got the biggest and baddest dragon. And if you think he's not going to start crisping some people just on whims, you're wrong.
Did you say Crispin or Kristen? Cole.
Crispin.
Okay.
He might be Crispin Kristen too if Kristen causes him any trouble.
Now, once again, let me go back to Aegon because I was so tough on him in last week's podcast. We see him get drunk. We see him dissing his sister a lot. Is he already been betrothed to his sister who's kind of fascinated with bugs and kind of an introvert? What, any new thoughts on Aegon? Once again, the king's firstborn son who could be king? What do you think?
I mean, he certainly got the right temperament for it because, every day before he rules, he's going to go catch a couple waves first.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anything with legs. He's how many?
I just meant actually surfing, Bubba.
Oh, yeah, sure. OK. I thought
catch a couple waves. They're right there on the he's right there.
Hey, dude. Right yes, Spicoli. Man. It's Spicoli.
Yeah. He's like, man, the break is sweet this morning.
Okay, we did have that scene that I mentioned before. Once again, we've had a couple now of Corlys and his wife, Rhaenys, the queen who never was.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have that fight where you were talking about it. You know, Corlys has his line, what is this brief mortal life if not the pursuit of legacy, excuse me. And then his classic line, history does not remember blood, it remembers names.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhaenys, I guess, doesn't like those kids that aren't really her grandkids. She's like, let's disinherit them and give these kids, Lena's kids, Driftmark. Any side you want to pick on this fight between husband and wife? I don't think they're set, I think they're still together, but they're definitely kind of taking two approaches here.
I mean, I'm definitely taking her side, but what I found interesting tonight was, and maybe it's just me, I'm wondering how you felt, how our listeners felt. I had assumed before tonight that she would just, she doth protest too much.
And that she really wanting the crown.
And I thought maybe she really did care. But tonight I realized she doesn't care anymore. And that before when she was saying that, she meant it. I guess I just assume anybody who's saying they don't want power on the Game of Thrones show is lying. So I have that in my defense. But did you believe her? Did you feel the same way I did, that you didn't quite believe her before, but tonight you believed her, that's the way she felt?
The way I would describe it is in past times when we saw her, she was still bitter about it. Like, that is 100% true. She was still bitter about being passed over. And when she and Rhaenyra, of course, that was the other actress, the young Rhaenyra actress, had that scene on the balcony.
Yeah, that was 12, 13 years ago.
Right, at this point. Who knows how many years ago. I think that was a scab. That was still a sore point for her. And so I do think she really meant that. But in this scene tonight, I think we are supposed to take, or at least I did, that it's been so many years that it's finally like enough. Or maybe it's just she's seen what became of her son because her husband pushed him so hard about, marry Rhaenyra, become, our kids will be on the throne. And so that's what snapped her out of it.
Right. It's almost as if she doesn't, that they both want what the other have, right? She just wants to be on where she is with her family taking it over, and he wants to be his family to be in charge.
Let's jump back to King Viserys, because there was a moment.
A boy. His face is starting to rot off.
Well, do you like this snapback, Viserys, to his younger brother? You know, his younger brother's lost his wife. He goes, the gods can be cruel. And Daemon goes, it seems they've been especially cruel to you. Oh,
the boom.
Say I look like crap without saying I look like crap.
Well, at this point, Daemon is kind of without a home.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Well, he implies he wants to go back to Pentos. Pentos is my home.
Right, but I wonder really if that's just really pride speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he says that to his brother, but that he's not sure. It's not until he rediscovers love / family.
Yeah, he gets some niece noogie that he's like, okay, I'll live here. But the moment that Viserys happened there at the funeral that I thought was odd was he's like, okay, I'm going to bed. And then he's like, it was almost like the head of the King's Guard's like, King, do you want me to stay here and guard, protect your wife? And is it like he sees Kristen Cole and he's like, no, let her talk to the young hottie? What was going on there?
I thought what was going on there was that the king said, I'm going to bed, Emma.
Oh,
using his old wife's name. And
awkward.
So that made what the Kingsguard did even more dickish by saying, do you want me to take care of Queen Alicent?
Right. Oh, my God. I missed that. Oh, so good. Not Zing. Good, Viserys.
No, not good at all.
We haven't talked about, and I don't think he was in the episode much. What do you think of Otto Hightower? Now he's handed the king again. And I thought, you know, maybe it's my anti-Daemon opinion. But Otto says to Daemon, you know, hey, I'm sorry. Otto's lost a wife. Now Daemon's lost a wife. And Daemon's like, oh, the leech is just looking for the next thing to suck. I mean, ow, ice cold. What do you think Otto now?
Well, just to kind of put a bow on Daemon, let's talk about Daemon after Otto. I was surprised that Otto gets brought back into the fold and there's nobody else to do this. I thought this just shows once again the wishy-washiness of Viserys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, any other person, Otto Hightower, once he got fired, you wouldn't be able to bring him back because once you fire him, that means you also have to kill him. So he doesn't threaten your power base.
Oh, it doesn't reveal any secrets. You certainly went over secrets with your hand at the king. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So once again, Viserys, weak. Otto, untrustworthy. Even if you trusted him before, now you brought him back. It's not a smart move. And it just shows how isolated Viserys is.
I liked the moment. Maybe once again, my anti-Aegon bias is so strong. When Aegon's just passed out on the stairwell, Otto picks him up. This is his grandson, admittedly. And so, yeah, you got to keep your grandson on the straight and narrow. But this is the grandson he's trying to get to be king, you know? So, you know,
Otto likes to shake people out of it. His little talk before he left with Alicent, finally she came around to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he believes in tough love or toughness without the love. He just believes in toughness. That was one of the scenes. It was so dark. I watched it a few times because I thought there was somebody there ministering to Aegon. In the den. So, that's all I have to say about Otto.
We know your team, Rhaenyra.
Mm-hmm.
Is Alicent just beyond the pale? She's too evil. Her desire for an eye, too evil. Or how do you feel about Alicent?
Before I was a little bit team Alicent. I'm not team Alicent at all anymore. I'm not quite sure why. Because in all honesty, up until this point, she's just kind of protecting what is hers.
Yeah. Well, she had a real revealing comment where she's like, you know, I was doing my duty. You were going out doing whatever the hell you wanted. I was doing my duty. And it's like, you know, that comes out at a moment where you see that it's almost more than just her son losing an eye. It's really about everything she's been through, and she's taking it out on Rhaenyra. And so, very, you know, whoops.
uh-oh moment. And what do you think she's going to have Laris do? Let's do this, and then we'll talk about Daemon to end it up. But what would you imagine? You know, Laris, he took care of his siblings who don't have dragons real easy. How could Laris help Alicent now, do you imagine?
Well, I just want to put it to you this way, Bubba.
Okay.
If I said to you, for example, that if my family members were causing you trouble,
yeah,
and I just killed them,
okay,
wouldn't you imagine that after killing my own family members, that I would basically kill anybody, anywhere, anytime? If okay, you well, just asked me,
who would she?
Oh, you want to know who
want killed? Jace, who's Jacaerys, or Luke, who's Lucerys, I think is how you pronounce the two kids who aren't Joffrey from Rhaenyra. Who would Alicent want killed by Laris?
How about even worse at this point, Rhaenyra's support system, Daemon?
Ooh, yes, good. I'm down with that. Let's go, Laris.
Oh, man. All right, so let's talk about Daemon.
Yeah, let's
even go. Though a lot happens with him this episode, mm-hmm. and he does always have awkward responses to things. At one point during his wife's funeral, he kind of breaks out into laughter, even though I think we both feel that he had real, genuine, and honest feelings for her. He's just kind of awkward.
He is.
I still felt he was a little passive, and I'm not quite sure what he wants. That is the last thing I expected when we watched the premiere, that we would be in episode 7, and I would say, Daemon feels like he's just kind of going with the flow and doesn't have real designs on power. It feels weird to think that he is the passive character here.
Right. Daemon said about his deceased wife, Laena, he was like, we were happy enough. And then you make out and go further on the night of your wife's funeral. This is why they created the hashtag too soon. I mean, come on, dude. Come on, dude.
Well, he does have a fluid moral system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Daemon almost seems like he was tickled by Rhaenyra and Laenor's marriage, right? You know, like in this episode, even though we know he's the father of all our kids, in this episode, we kind of found out how Rhaenyra felt about Harwin Strong. Like, he was comforting. You know, he comforted me. I needed joy. There was joy elsewhere, meeting him. But it didn't seem like she was in love with him. And Daemon almost is tickled by it. Huh. You're like me. You do what you want to do, you know?
You mean psychotic. without genuine human emotion.
You get me. would you prefer? Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to get you? I think it was just last week you were saying when Daemon, when he was in Pentos, it was like he was stuck in mud. What do you think, if anything, could get him out of being stuck in mud? The love of a good niece?
No, I think just a good old fashioned threat from Otto and Otto's daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, he does.
Well, he didn't do much we in saw the family squabble. He kind of he just kept Kristen Cole out of it. Otherwise, he didn't step in and do anything.
Right, but we saw what he did with the crab feeder. Pretty much when you when you push him far enough, mm-hmm. he's willing to do just about anything and impervious to arrows.
Important skill to have.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. crab feeder. We miss you so much, buddy.
We hardly knew you. Absolutely did not know you one bit.
We knew he was handsome. He was a looker. Because when you looked at him, you were like, I can't look away. Oh, my God. Is that a human being? Hey, okay. We're talking all these characters. We're going to talk some more. But listeners, you know what we want you to do at Double PHQ. And let's get to it, Catfish. You ready?
Holy cow.
Game three. This is a tricky one. This is a real tricky one. We added two blanks in the question. Is this crazy or what?
When you said we, you mean you, right? I would never
do this. That's true. I did. I did add. I was like, what's one that the listeners can go completely bonkers with? And so let's get to it. You ready, listeners?
Mm-hmm.
Aemond took a dragon. Lucirus took an eye. But tonight's episode was so dark, I thought blank took a blank.
Oh.
Aemon took a dragon. Lucirus took an eye. But the episode was so dark, I thought blank took a blank. Okay.
Vhagar took a dump.
What?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
I couldn't tell. Just right on the camera stock.
Okay, now I wrote this next answer, mm-hmm. but I'm going to read the intro. I want you to highlight my answer so you can see it and then read it to the crowd. You ready?
All right, here we go.
Aemond took a dragon, Lucirus took an eye, but the episode was so dark, I thought blank took a blank.
Aegon took a blowjob.
So, listeners, before we started recording, Catfish was complaining that it was so dark. That scene of Aegon there on the stairs, he thought, was Aegon getting pleasured from one of those women there? And so I thought, okay, let's have that be the match game question.
Oh, my God. All right. I bet the listeners are going to do amazing on this question.
Well, let me say, from our answers, I'll just hide the bell. I'll put the bell away. There's... You know, after our classic matching so much earlier. Yeah, I think our listeners are going to be doing well. And oh, no. Okay, you read the... If you see Endless Mike's answer, get ready to read it. You ready?
All right.
Aemon took a dragon, Lucirus took an eye, but the episode was so dark, I thought...
HBO took a shit.
Bring the bell back. Bring the bell.
Thank you.
That was Vhagar, not HBO. Come on.
same.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll read this one, which I really, really love from at Nicholas Fortuna. You ready? Give me the setup.
All right. Aemon took a dragon. Lucirus took an eye. But the episode was so dark, I thought...
The key grip took an uncomfortably long bathroom break. Now that is very good. That is very good. If you know what a key grip is, and I'm not sure I do, but it's about lighting on movie sets and things. And so very good at Nicholas Fortuna. A tip of my cap to you. I like that one a lot. All right. Here, you ready to read one?
Yes.
Aemond took a dragon. Lucirus took an eye, but the episode was so dark, I thought.
My TV took an energy-saving setting of 50% brightness.
Oh, yes. That is very true. Who said that? That's very
Jeff
good.
At oh, Jeff Perro again. We love it, Jeff.
Okay, and Double M is going to close this out. Hopefully he's got another leg spreader to really, really disrupt our podcasting entirely. Okay, so Aemon took a dragon. Lucirus took an eye. The episode was so dark, I thought.
Carl took a dump when Daemon gave him a pitch.
Oh my, how many people are taking dumps? Oh my goodness.
That's gracious. How the film stock got so dirty.
Oh my goodness. Match games, you know, after we're dead and gone, these match games will live on in infamy.
Ooh. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
All rise. Enter the small council for the small council debate. This is Judge Maester Mellos. We will debate three questions here in the small council, and we will figure out the correct answer. Question one, who was in the wrong, Aemond or the other children in the children fight? Counselor Catfish. Small council member Catfish, you're up first.
Your Honor, it is so clear that Aemond was in the wrong here. Your Honor,
he
is a bully. Your Honor, he starts conversations with what he likes to call his right fist, and then he ends them with what he likes to call his right fist with a rock in it.
Oh, man.
He's a dirty, dirty fighter, Your Honor. He's a name caller, yes. And he's blonde. He's evil, Your Honor. He just started going after those kids, calling them names, punching, lashing out. Violence, Yana, is not the answer, clearly, in the Game of Thrones universe.
Compelling argument, Counselor Bubba.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Your Honor, I would like to submit some video evidence, if that's okay.
Highly unusual here in Westeros. We don't have video players, but I'll allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm going to play this scene from Game of Thrones, the original TV show, season 3, episode 4, and now his walk has ended. Give me a second, Your Honor. I got to fast forward this VHS.
How is it possible Game of Thrones is on VHS? This was Blu-ray, certainly.
Your Honor, give me a break here. You ready? Here's the scene right here.
Your Honor, Daenerys, I protest. I believe this was an illegally ripped copy, Your Honor. This can't be shown in court.
We have our fourth case against Bubba for illegally copying.
Your Honor, hold on. Look at Daenerys here talking to the slaver here in Yung Kai. She says, a dragon is no slave. Your Honor, you can see that from the closed caption.
Play it so I can hear Daenerys' voice.
Yes, you're okay, Your Honor. Atoko, alalakoko. Your Honor, you had to read the subtitles. That's in Valyrian. Anyway, a dragon is no slave. So these kids were like, oh, that was my mom, so therefore I get to inherit it. No, Your Honor, a dragon isn't a slave. The dragon has to be claimed. The dragon has to form a bond. And this dragon, Vhagar, formed a bond with Aemond. And so these people, with their hurt feelings, forget about it, kids. I go to the park every day, Your Honor, and tell kids that young to get over their damn feelings. And so therefore, for Aemond being a grandpa grumps, he is in the right.
I'm completely confused because I feel like the Honorable Bubba is arguing this case along with another case that I feel like we're going to talk about very soon, Your Honor. I believe he's commingling the cases. And what's important here is that Aemond started calling names and started lashing out.
Counselor Bubba, do you have a claim? Because Catfish is right. You are mingling the cases.
Your Honor, please. Listen, Your Honor, can I say, what do Targaryens do? They intermingle all the time. So if I am intermingling just like Rhaenyra and Daemon intermingled on the beach, it's correct. Aemond was right. He did it. Those kids need to suck it. And if my son was being attacked by 4 bullies, I would say, pick up that rock. In fact, I'd hand him that rock, Your Honor, and say, beat up those kids.
Very disturbing. Final point, Counselor Catfish.
Yeah, no, I don't think I need to say any more. He's advocating cheating, fighting against other young children, both male and female, Your Honor.
I'll allow it.
Your Honor, thank you.
But wait, that doesn't mean you win. Listeners, go to our website or at Double P Media and email us a response to hello@doublepmedia.com. Next case. Your Honor, I thought I won. Shut up, kid. Next case. Is trying to bond with a dragon set for someone else fair game? Counselor Bubba, you've already argued this, but do you want to have another point?
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, I do have another point. Good grief. I think that, let me put in this tape of Daenerys from season 3.
No, 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 shut up. Counselor Catfish, your argument.
Well, I feel it's a completely different jury, so if he wants to play it over again, that's completely fine with me. Yana.
Yes?
I hate to argue against this esteemed gentleman, but dragons are a very rare resource here.
Correct.
And it is true that you need to win them, but you need to be given the opportunity to win them after a suitable amount of grieving, Your Honor. This is just thievery, plain and simple. It's a thief out in the night stealing a dragon. This is no better than somebody stealing my catalytic converter, Your Honor. That's $1,000 to replace.
Your Honor.
Like a thief in the night.
I don't know how many catalytic converters get stolen in North Hollywood.
A lot, Your Honor. You just got to go on to next door, Your Honor. People get him stolen all the time.
How do we know, Your Honor, that that dragon Vhagar was set for somebody else?
Well, the kid said it was.
You're right, Your Honor. The word of a child. Did I demand that her father say who that dragon was for?
Now, Counselor Bubba, you know her father wasn't Harwin Strong. He's still alive. It's Damon.
No, Your Honor, I actually forgot that. I withdraw my case.
Order in the court. What the hell? All right, argument three. I can't, issue three. Do you believe in eye for an eye, a tongue for a lie? Famous saying here in Westeros. Counselor Catfish, you're up first.
Your Honor.
Yes.
I do have to say this. This is a rough and tumble world we're in here, Your Honor, here in Westeros. And while I may personally have different beliefs, I do believe that in the upper echelons, Your Honor, if there are people who admit to their crimes, that an even metering out of justice is appropriate. Now, do I want one of the strong kids to lose their eye? No, I don't, Your Honor. I want Aemon to lose his other eye and also some other vital body parts. But I just think that the premise is still the same, Your Honor, that in this kind of world, you must take like for like. We saw it with the Honorable Prince Daemon at the beginning. Thieves losing their hands, rapers losing, well, what they use, Your Honor. It's appropriate in this world, and it should have happened here.
Counselor Catfish, do you have someone who should have lost a tongue for a lie?
Well, Jon, I can think of several people. First of all, Daemon. But Rhaenyra wouldn't like that, Jon.
He's got to use that tongue. So true, Counselor Catfish. Your Honor, you seem to be favoring one counselor over the other. Just get to it, son. All right, listen. Okay.
Thanks, Dad. What I believe in is an eye for an eye. But who's to say that it has to be one of the kid's eyes, the father of that kid who brought a knife to a rock fight, should have to pay for their eye? And, Your Honor, I'm pretty sure in this case, the father of that kid was Harwin. So I demand Harwin give an eye. What? Wait, Laris did what? To his brother? Wait, what?
Counselor Catfish, did you watch last week's episode?
Your Honor, I just podcasted about it. I don't have to remember.
What the hell? Counselor Bubba, do you have someone who should lose a tongue for a lie?
Well, Your Honor, since you're putting me on the spot like this, I guess the person that I think should lose a tongue for a lie is everybody on the show. I'm trying to think if there's one person who hasn't lied on the show.
Well, Your Honor, I'm pretty sure that Laris hasn't lied. But that's because no one's asked him a question yet.
Right.
But I don't even know if he would lie. Did you kill your brother and father? Yes, I did.
They're not.
Is there someone you need me to kill?
Your Honor, so Laris would still have a tongue. How about this? Would Viserys, our king, still have a tongue? You know what? An eye for an eye, a tongue for a lie. It is certainly better leadership than Viserys is showing, so I support it, Your Honor. Better leadership.
That really wasn't the question, Counselor Bubba, but okay.
Rebuttal, also, he went on my side, Your Honor. I believe he ceded the argument in all three cases tonight.
There has to be some debate, Counselor Bubba.
You know what? I'm under a lot of stress, guys. We're about to do three podcasts a week. Forgive me.
Listeners, what do you think? Who was wrong in the fight, Aemond or the four other children? Is it wrong to bond with a dragon set for someone else? And do you believe in eye for an eye justice in Westeros? At Double PHQ.
All I have to say to our listeners
is
if you usually listen to this and you don't watch it on YouTube, you must watch it on YouTube to watch Bubba do his counselor and judge at the same time.
What? Impressive. I can't believe you would argue this. All right. Hey, before we get to your feedback, and it is wonderful feedback, I did want to touch on an article that blew up online this week. It's called House of the Dragon. The Battle for Iron Throne is Pointless When Everyone is This Evil. Written by Amanda Whiting. And Amanda wrote, among the three viable candidates for King Viserys' successor, his brother Daemon, his eldest son Aegon II, and his daughter, an officially recognized heir, Rhaenyra, no one has emerged as a frontrunner. I've not heard a single constructive idea from any of these three about how they'll differentiate their reign from the current shambles, which has produced not one, but two wars for the Stepstones. How am I, as a viewer, supposed to care who rules Westeros when no one seems to have the Westerosi in mind? Catfish, I can go deeper into this article, but you've got to give Amanda that due. None of these people are talking about, well, I should be king because I'd be able to do this. You know, like nobody's got a platform they're running on. It's just give it to me, right? Does that matter to you that we're not, you know, it kind of having to pick who might be the best ruler based on their personality? What do you think?
I feel like she's right, but also, after watching Game of Thrones, I'm not sure that we care that someone's going to be a better ruler or not. The only one who I've really felt like was like, I want to rule and I'm going to be a just ruler, was Daenerys. And we saw what happened to her. Everybody else was just, I mean, some people were not out and out horrible, but no one was like, you know, here's my plan for socialism in Westeros. Here's, I'm going to, you know, eel pie in every stone oven. Until tonight, I was very pro Daenerys. Rhaenyra. Right. I was pro her. I just felt she was kind of due and, you know, that I liked her, but you know, she really, when anyone is sort of agitating for it, doing sneaky stuff, that's when I kind of lose my pro feelings for them.
I just want to say, in this article, Amanda points out, like you did, that Daenerys was like, I'm going to break the wheel. She freed slaves. So you thought she'd be a better ruler. And based on the show, she almost got corrupted by her desire for the throne. The article writer Amanda also points out that Jon Snow, in their estimation, manifested the idea that a power indifferent outsider might make a suitable king, because he was always trying to do, you know, what was best for human beings. So you're right. There isn't anybody with even that on it, right? In this show, it really is just, which one do you like?
You know? I don't feel like I need anyone to be the best ruler. I just need to have the person that I want to be the ruler and root for them. So in where I kind of agreed with it tonight is I'm not sure that I want Rhaenyra to be the ruler anymore. I mean, I don't have anybody better, but I was rooting for her to be the ruler and now I'm kind of not. So I do understand exactly where this writer's coming from, because you want to be able to root for somebody. And if they needed to have this ideal of, this ruler is going to make the world better for everybody, which I don't think has been true really of any person who's achieved power, then I understand. I do understand it, even though I am making a little bit of fun of it.
Let me say that Amanda closes her article by writing, I'm rooting for Rhaenyra because I like her yellow dragon. And the impulse to choose a side is irresistible. Also feminism. So there you go.
Yeah. You have to identify with someone. You may not even have to like them, but you need to have a side in these kind of shows, or otherwise you wouldn't care.
Okay. Hey, that's a
like I don't
thought.
with the new Ring series.
Ooh, don't care. Wonderful. Oh, always good. Hey, that's Amanda's thought, but we care about your thoughts, and we're going to get to your feedback right now.
Love it.
We just literally, episode 7 just ended maybe an hour ago. We got this tweet from our good buddy at Likely Seth on Twitter, who wrote, how many babies will they have had by the next episode? I hate time jumps. Ooh, that's Seth. How are you doing, Catfish? Because if you look at that preview for next week, There's going to be another big time jump.
Oh, no. I didn't look at the preview because I was switching back to TVs, trying to find a TV that would actually show me what I was watching.
Show the darkness,
so I skipped the preview for next week. I thought we were done with time jumps.
Sorry, buddy. What the heck?
Just everybody goes into a holding pattern again. We're not going to really do anything. Are we going to be done with time jumps by the end of this season? What the heck? Yes, how long can the king hold on until he's basically just ahead with one ear?
That would be awesome. Fantasy. We need more fantasy in this show. The head with an ear. But listeners, hopefully that didn't spoil you. We are expecting a big time jump for next episode, but also the showrunners. And if you kind of trust Fire and Blood, by the end of this series, we will be finished with the time jump. So
by the end of the season.
By the end of the season. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Likely, Seth. I feel you. That's tough. We also did get feedback about episode 6. So do you want to read this first bit from Gina Catfish?
Yeah. Gina Giacchetti at G Giacchetti says, I don't know if anyone has brought up double L double A yet.
Wait, double L double A?
Laris little-fingered Alicent again.
Love that. Love that. That's absolutely correct. It's funny and true. Very good, Gina. What do you think?
And also slightly dirty. I feel like that's the drink. Laris little-fingered Alicent.
Oh, now, likely Seth gave us feedback again, but this time on episode 6, and he was real tough. Let me read this.
Ooh.
Likely Seth wrote, this episode was a solid 3 out of 10 triple C's.
Triple C's?
Can't care characters.
Ooh.
While I have liked this episode the least, I found myself thinking about it the most. To me, Kristen Cole is just a bit jealous and angry to have lost his first love.
Yeah.
Okay. His harsh words and treatment of those boys, meaning Rhaenyra's boys, comes back to wishing they were his. Mm-hmm. I really wish I felt connected to these characters. Lena's, a.k.a. Matt Damon's wife, hilarious. He means Matt Smith's character, Damon's wife. Lena's death was dramatic and powerful. However, Seth writes, I didn't care. A few glimpses of her young and aged up shaped what could have been a glorious character, yet we missed all of her life. Rhaenyra's actress did a fine enough job. It did not feel like a natural progression of the earlier character to this point, though. Alicent's character did feel like she would have moved towards her actions in episode 6, though. Rhaenyra's last scene was my most impactful of the show, when the small council meeting felt like it was her last olive branch. When it wasn't accepted, she realized time was up. Her words to her husband were strong and to me laid out that she set on war. Rhaenyra's words to her husband could be construed as a kindness to bring his lover, but she made it plain that they need the sword. Bringing Carl will result in Carl's death, is what Seth believed. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So, Seth, I love these opinions. They're not ours, but I love every opinion's valid, and I think this is great, and I think these time jumps are tough. And, Seth, I want to know if you keep watching. Watch till the end of this first season, because I want to, just personally, because I want to know your feedback on it.
Love it. Dooley's Left Legs says, another great episode, Your Honor. The courtroom is fast becoming my second favorite segment of the show, now that Catfish's accent is more polished.
Correct verdict, Your Honor. Come on. Thank you, Dooley's Left Leg. We got some feedback on YouTube and some great feedback. First up, Muriel wrote, So funny. Hopefully she knows that our funny is attempting to be on purpose, these match games, but thank you so much, Muriel.
Love it. T. Jones says, love the match game shtick. A couple more cast members, Bert Convy, Brad Garrett, Soupy Sales was on, wasn't he? I mean, he was on everything. Oh and another Sales. Thing, ain't leprosy contagious by breaths caused sneezing or droplets specifically? I believe it is. The sores are contagious. It is contagious. Leprosy is clearly contagious.
If Alicent has been close to her husband, as some of these bed scenes
have, she
needs
gloves.
Been, you think she's got leprosy? Ooh. Vanessa wrote, they should have skipped the first scene with Alicent asking to see the baby. And again, this is about episode 6. Vanessa wrote, right away, You've taken all the good will Allison had garnered up through episodes 1 through 5. Plus, it was so long, a lot of the Pento scenes were taken out. But Miguel had to have multiple childbirth scenes and fancy camera work. Miguel needs to stick to battles. So glad he's leaving the show. Ouch. Can't wait to see what he leaves out this week.
Wow, yeah, well, lights for one thing.
Vanessa wrote, that said, I'm really impressed with almost everything else. I'm totally biased. My favorite actor in the last ten years has been Matt Smith. So Team Damon all the way. Ooh, love thank it. You, Vanessa. And then we got this giant bit of feedback from somebody on YouTube who has the handle Damon Targaryen. Holy smokes.
So holy cow. Yeah, we'll a lot get through of it real quick. Feedback.
He
all wrote right.
Allison. He said, Allison, I love how Olivia Cooke, the new Allison, the older Allison, is portraying Allison is more accurate to the books. She's more of a manipulative bee like Cersei, according to Damon. He says Otto is a character he's dubbed Middle Finger instead of Little Finger, and he's a rival to Damon. He considers Otto the one who started this mess by pimping his daughter to the king. He said Larys is probably the worst character in the series in terms of morals and ethics.
So the best character.
He says Aegon the Second. We're already seeing what a D-bag he'll turn out by going full Homelander. Imagine if Bran witnessed this instead of Jaime and Cersei, for sure, meaning the Aegon scene in the window. For sure, Bran would have stopped climbing up walls once and for all. Okay, he says, young Aemon is the only badass from the Greens, but also a big douche like his uncle. He says, Kristen Cole is the incel.
Love it.
Jason Lannister is another unlikable D-bag. He says, the Blacks, meaning, I guess, Rhaenyra's side, have Damon, and that's the only reason most fans with eyes and a brain needs to be for rooting them. He says Rhaenyra's kids, Jace, Luke, and then I guess he means Baelov, who's one of Damon's kids, and Rhaena are better than Allison's kids. And he says House Valerian is the most likable family in this series, and they're siding with the Blacks. I guess that's true. Do you consider House Valerian the most likable? I was going to say House Strong was 2/3 likable.
I really had thought by the end of this episode, and I don't know why, I thought we were going to see two factions. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see everybody line up. Right. I'll be curious to see where House Valerian lines up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Rhaenys, yeah. I mean, this is a great question because Rhaenys likes those daughters of Daemon's and felt maybe like they're not your blood to Rhaenyra's kids. Huh. You think that almost means she has to be on Team Rhaenyra, maybe? Or maybe she goes Damon because that's my blood? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's Team Daenerys now, so it's just
no, good point.
Daenerys versus the Middle Towers.
Hey, let's get to some of the great match game answers we got after last week's podcast. So you ready?
Love it. Yes.
Damon's idea of foreplay is a dragon flight, while Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is
Piggly Wiggly Willy Whacking.
Oh.
That is Nick Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna.
But I always say, why do I have to see some of these answers? Okay. Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is
Double C.
Double C.
Cousin clubbing.
He did beat up his cousins.
Yeah, he gets him warmed up. All right, I'll read this one.
Very good.
At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was handed the king, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were
corpses for the queen. Oh, that's very good. That's exactly what they were. That's from a great Twitter follow. That's Nicole, who's at Nightwolf Nim on Twitter. So
all right,
good.
Get the bell ready.
Get ready.
At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was handed the king, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were
double S's.
Double S's.
Sizzling Strongs.
Oh, yes. That is at Harley Camille.
Love Camille.
At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was high into the king, while at the end of his episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were
double S's.
Double S's.
Seared Strongs.
Oh, that's at Likely Seth. Ring the bell.
Oh, wait, get ready. You got one, at least one more double S. You ready?
All right. At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was handed the king, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were
double S.
Double S.
Seared and sayonara.
I love it. All right.
Nicholas Fortuna.
Nick Fortuna again.
Okay. There were two pink dreads in this episode. One was a pig. The other was
Aegon's little Aegon.
Oh, that really does match me. That really does match me. Who's that from?
That's Jenny Taylor at Mariposa 22473.
Okay, here we go. And your favorite question here, Catfish. We got many more answers for this. Four more, I guess, since the episode ended. Lovin' Laris was so loving.
How loving is he?
At Christmas time, he gets all of his family members
short-term life insurance policies.
At Nicholas Fortuna. Some of these people we're going to have to put in a ring of honor for their answers. This is so good. So, okay. Loving Laris is so loving at Christmas time, he gets all his family members
college classes in sign language and pyromancer.
Well, he definitely got to get him sign language classes, these poor guys. Who's that? That was Dooley's left legs. Oh,
Dooley's
great.
Left
okay.
legs again. Love it.
Loving Laris is so loving at Christmas time, he gets all his family members.
Double T's.
Double T's.
Yeah, tongue ties.
Wait, who that matches somebody?
Oh.
I mean, who is that likely Seth? Oh, that's so good. Oh, and this fourth one. I love this fourth one. Okay. Loving Laris right, is so loving at Christmas time, he gets all of his family members.
Smoke detectors.
Oh, my God. But he doesn't get them the batteries. So.
The answer, and I feel so bad, you have to listen to last week's pod. The answer, the best answer, I think, to any of the questions was the answer to this question when someone said, a Kindle.
I know. So good. So good.
Oh.
So that smoke detectors was from our good buddy at NLSMike03. Guys, we've gone long tonight, mainly because we love this episode. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I'm Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter and at GEETOTHEMAN on Instagram. And Bubba.
Yeah.
If you go see a movie that has gotten reviews, okay. I'm not going to tell you what kind of reviews they are, but I am hopefully in this movie Amsterdam coming out October 7th. So if you want to go see it, if you can figure out
the big star-studded movie, you're going to be in it, Catfish?
I'm one of the non-stars in it. One of the four non-stars in this movie.
Listeners, if you see Amsterdam opening in a theater near you this Friday, hey, let us know on Twitter. Let Catfish know.
Yeah. If you see somebody you don't recognize, that's me.
Hey, next week we'll be talking about episode 8, The Lord of the Tides. On the
Joffrey of Podcasts.
How much money are you getting for every ticket sold to Amsterdam?
0.00.
Then I'm definitely going. You son of a bitch. Aren't I a stinker? Let's go, Laris. Let's go, Eamon. Number one.
I'm telling mother.